Hey guys, welcome to the Todd Allen Show. Thanks for joining me today. I want to get some plugs out of the way up front. And the first is, if you have not visited Todd's World on Spotify and listened to the first four episodes of Insurrection, which is my latest audio fiction podcast. So it's a story, kind of like an audiobook, except we drop it in episodes. And then in addition, the episodes all drop on Mondays. And then we have an ensemble podcast where we, Will and Carrie and Lauren join me, and we talk about that week's episode, and we kind of delve into it, and then we talk about how it relates to the real world. And it's a lot of fun. A lot of people say they like the podcast almost as much as the story. And the story, quite honestly, is I think it's fabulous. I really enjoy it. A lot of people really enjoy it. It's nice to see, even if it's fiction, it's nice to see the deep state actually taking it on the chin for once. So I would encourage you to go over there. It's only on Spotify, and it's under Todd's World, and it's called Insurrection. So you can search either Todd's World or Insurrection. Go check it out. I think that you will really enjoy it. You can find me at Instagram and Facebook at Todd's World 2023. Also on Twitter, where I'm probably most active, at Todd's World 2023. And on Truth Social at The Todd Allen Show. So, and you can message me at any of those places. Love to hear from people. Hopefully we'll have the website and the store up and running with merchandise soon. So I'll let you know as soon as that happens. Also, you can find me on Substack. I try to release about once a week. I try to release an article or a piece on whatever, different things. So last week's was called Blue Gods, and it was contrasting your red and blue gods, and red and blue, I mean conservative and liberal. Like if you had your red states and your blue states, but what are the gods of those philosophies? How are those gods worshipped? So that's kind of what we talk about. Anyway, it's about, I don't know, 1,000 words. So it's not a long read, but check me out on Substack at Todd's World. But most importantly, check out Insurrection at Todd's World on Spotify, because I think you'll really enjoy it. Everybody who's listened to it has just had rave reviews about it. It's growing by leaps and bounds. So anyway, thanks for joining me today. I wanted to talk, obviously yesterday there was another horrific school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. And I did a show last year, and the title of the show was "The Left Doesn't Care About Dead Kids." And it was in response to another, I don't remember which school shooting. I think it was a school shooting where like 19 kids had died. But unfortunately, there are a fair amount of school shootings, and I can't always keep them straight after the fact. I will say, I'm not going to rehash all of what I said in that episode, although I firmly believe that the left doesn't care at all about dead kids, period. This school shooting epidemic that we deal with could be handled far better than we have handled it. And, you know, I'm going to give Clay Travis from the Clay and Buck Show credit for this thought, because I originally heard him express it yesterday, and I think he's absolutely right, which is we have sent, I don't know, $200 billion to Ukraine for a war that has nothing to do with us. The only reason we're fighting in Ukraine is because the Obamas and the Bidens and the U.S. deep state has all these bio labs over there, and God only knows how much corruption is over there, and they don't want Putin to get his hands on the proof of it and start disseminating it throughout the world. There's no other reason that we're fighting in Ukraine. Anybody who tells you any different, and that's most of the mainstream media, are lying to you. But that's shouldn't come as a shock. That's generally what they do. So if we took even a fraction of that money, but certainly if we took $200 billion, we could make a serious dent in funding armed officers at every school. I don't know if that's the best answer. I still tend to think that the best answer is probably arming teachers and arming administrators. Not necessarily all of them. I'm not saying that you require every 22-year-old woman who comes out of college and wants to be an English teacher to carry a gun. But there are teachers who would and would willingly do so. And they would want to get the training for it. And if you had 20% or 25% of your staff in a school carrying, you wouldn't have this kind of thing. You'll notice the reason that these shootings happen is they happen in gun-free zones. They happen where there aren't any guns. They don't have to worry about anybody shooting back. So they just come in armed to the teeth and start killing people. So we could handle it. And as a society and as a country, our politicians don't want to. The only thing you can conclude from that is that specifically the left, who controls the media and controls entirely too much of the government, benefits from these mass shootings. They want the mass shootings. They want the dead kids. They want the blood all over because it furthers their political agenda, which is to demonize guns, to demonize those who own guns, and to try to get guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. That is absolutely all they care about. They don't care about the kids. They don't care about your kids. They don't care about you. They don't give a damn about you. You could live or die, and it makes no difference to them. I mean, we know that from what we saw in COVID, what we see with the vaccines. We still have people dropping dead every day. Anyway, I don't want to get into all that. Today, I want to, so go back, listen to that show, The Left Doesn't Care About Dead Kids, because it's 100% true. And everything I said in it is true. It's amazing. It's amazing the truth that is uttered on this show, that is put out into the world. We are a shining beacon of truth and hopefully joy and entertainment and knowledge, but certainly truth. Now, I want to read to you because I think what we tend to get automatically, we tend to retreat to our sides, to our bunkers on this. And the left automatically, oh, guns are the worst. Oh, my God. And I'm always like, guns. I tweeted this yesterday. I said, those damn guns. How are the guns getting out of the cases? They don't have thumbs. How are the guns getting out of the cases and onto the street to do all this wanton killing that the guns are doing? It's just, it's insanity. But I want to focus on this tragedy that happened yesterday. There have been 6 victims identified. So 3 kids and 3 adults. The names of the 3 children who were killed are Evelyn Dekas, I'm not sure how to say the last name, Haley Scruggs, and William Kinney. These were 3 9-year-old children who were shot by this mentally ill, unhinged, I guess it's a trans chick. I think she started out as a chick and she was trying to become a guy or something like that. I don't know. And then there was 3 adults killed. The adults were Cynthia Peak, Catherine Kuntz, and Mike Hill. Too often we retreat to our bunkers and the right starts defending guns and the left starts attacking guns. And that's all it's about. And what we lose in it is we lose the fact that there are victims here and they're the victims who are killed. And then their families their families' lives are altered forever by these actions. We can't stop all bad things. We can't, that's impossible, but we can at least recognize evil. We can choose to come alongside those who suffer the effects of evil and comfort, provide strength and courage and just suffer with them while they suffer. And pray for them. I think that's prayer, the power of prayer as a country and as a society. I think we've lost all concept. And concept might not be the right word. We've lost faith. We've lost faith in a lot of areas, but we've lost faith in the power of prayer. And I think that just comes probably from not doing it, not engaging in it. We've lost faith and confidence in the power of God, and it's natural that would, you know, run downhill to the power of prayer and everything else. And there is a power in prayer. And so if you do nothing else, but in your daily prayer time, remember the families of these victims to this horrific act, then I think you're doing your part, quite honestly. I think you're doing your part for people you don't know in a state you might not live in, you know, that are far removed from you. You're still doing your part to stand alongside them and lift them up to God and pray for their comfort. Pray that God will work through this suffering. Haley Scruggs, one of the 9-year-old girls who was killed, her father was the senior pastor at Covenant Presbyterian Church, which is the host of this Christian school. So it's impossible to wrap our heads around if you haven't experienced it. And I haven't personally experienced the loss of a child, thank God. I did when I was 9 years old, coincidentally, lost a brother who was 5 years old. And so I watched my parents walk through the loss of a child. It's a tough thing to go through. Changes you, you know, changes your family. And those changes you feel, I don't know, forever, but certainly over the course of your life and your family, that those impacts last forever as far as we're concerned down here. So I would lift those families up in prayer, and maybe not. We've got to fight back against the left. Listen, nobody understands that better than I do, but it's the left who steps into a situation like this within an hour of it happening and instantly politicizes it. I don't know that we have to get down in the gutter with them, I think. And so we can listen. I'm 100% pro Second Amendment, pro everything. The problem here, it was supposedly this 28-year-old trans girl, and I guess she was a former student at the school, and she had this mapped out. She was going to go in. She had it planned out. I don't know whether she had planned out who she wanted to kill or who she didn't. My guess is that if that was the case, probably would have been more the adults, not the kids. But it shows you how once evil is allowed to fester, it's allowed to infect a society, there's no stopping those effects. We can't contain them. We're not able to contain evil and say, well, we'll deal with this much evil and then it won't spread over into everything else. No, I mean, I don't know whether or not this chick who clearly was mentally ill. I don't know if she's taking testosterone. If she was, that could certainly cause one of the side effects can be changes in behavior, can be anger, can be irritability. So it could that have been part of it? It could have. I don't know. Was it demonic? It most certainly, I think, was demonic. I don't know if she was possessed by a demon per se, but certainly there were dark spiritual forces at work in this girl. And who knows to what, who knows why, who knows? But the fact of the matter is that as a society, when we when we call evil good, and one of the things that are evil is gender confusion. It just flat out is. It's the and when we allow society to brush over, when we said, listen, whatever you want to be, you were born a boy, you can put on a dress, you can do whatever you want, as long as you're not bothering me, you know, I'm not going to bother you, blah, blah, blah. That it just doesn't work that way. You cannot give the devil a foothold in society and not expect the results of that to infect every aspect of society. Now, listen, there's certainly our school shooters who aren't trans, although we've had, I don't know, four or five of them that are or that were. But this is just, it's a consequence of living in a fallen world. And not only living in a fallen world, but of living in a society that has turned its back on God, has turned its back on Jesus, on Christianity, that quite honestly, our country was founded on the morality, the Christian morality that has undergirded our society for 250 years. Well, for at least 200 of those. I mean, how long has it been? Certainly 50 or 60 years. We took prayer out of schools, took the Bible out of schools. And so in every area of life, we're pushing God out. We're pulling back. We're saying, don't worry, God, we don't need you for this. We've got it. And it's just not true. And so then you see it, and it becomes tangible, and it's tangible in these school shootings. It's just unbelievably, horribly sad. These people, you know, these adults are going to work and they're investing. Listen, these people aren't working at Christian schools for the money. You're not making like fat cash at a Christian school. You're just not. They're working at these schools because they love these kids and they care about investing in their life, and they believe that they can make substantive changes but they can grow them and mature them into good citizens. And yet, certainly you have your bad apples. Look at the one who came back and shot up the school. We have to, as a society, I really think the only answer is to turn back to God. Jesus is the answer. I mean, that's the truth. It may sound simple. It may sound blasé, but it's true. Jesus is the answer for our society today. You want to know what the answer is to wokeness? Jesus. Huh. That's easy. Well, it can't be that easy. It's got to be this good. No, it's just Jesus. You know what the answer is to the deep state? Jesus. You know what the answer is to the left? Jesus. He is the answer. And to the extent, and until we as a society turn back to God, we can't expect God's blessing on our society. And in fact, things are only going to get worse. That's where we're at. And there's a war against God. There's a war against Christians in this society. You see it here. There's a war against children. I mean, my God, if you can't look at abortion and see that, then, and it's not just abortion, public schools, it's all over the place. Look at what they did to kids during COVID. Kids who were at basically no risk at all. They ruined their lives for a year, 2 years. They don't care because they don't care about kids. They don't care about kids alive or dead. They just don't. That's who the left is. So let's not be like the left. Let's not look at this as just another situation where we can pound on the left. I mean, we do have to defend ourselves. Listen, we have to defend our Constitution, our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, which is for the express purpose of keeping a tyrannical government at bay. So we do have to stand up for that. I'm not saying we don't. But at the same time, and we should put as much effort into praying for these families, to supporting these families. You know, if you're in the community down there, you're one of the people, you come alongside them, suffer with them, because it's tragic and it's horrible. Can good come out of it? I hope so. I mean, I assume so. God can work all things together for good. Paul tells us in Romans 8:28. So we have to believe that God's at work even when we can't see it. Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church had a message a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about God being at work 20 miles upstream when God started piling up the waters of the Jordan River as the children of Israel are marching towards it. And that's that resonated with me. It stuck with me. And in fact, it's kind of made its way into my daily declarations and prayers, is that God's at work where we can't see him. He's at work 20 miles upstream. So he's at work in this. I don't think we can doubt that at all. Even through their tears and their suffering, I bet that the pastor, who's the father of one of these 9-year-old girls, that he believes that deep down. You catch him, 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, it'll still hurt. It'll still be suffering. But I think he'll tell you God's at work. God's working in it. And he wishes, I'm sure, listen, you would wish that God would be at work and leave your young daughter with you, for sure. But we don't always get the choice of how God works. So I think that's my biggest thing, is if you're going to focus on this school shooting, focus on the victims and pray about them. I think just pray for God's comfort within the situation, for the strength and courage of these families to deal with this horrific thing that has happened. And then, yes, go out and defend the Second Amendment. Go out and take the war to the left. This trans movement that seems to be like a virus sweeping over our country, it's evil, and it needs to be resisted as evil. I'm not saying that every person who struggles with gender dysphoria is evil per se. Like they're not evil personified, but certainly they're struggling with dark spiritual forces, with mental illness. They're struggling against evil. For us to pretend that they're not, to pretend that they're fine, that doesn't help them, and it doesn't help our society. We have to call evil evil. And those who practice evil, by that I mean the people promoting this ideology, the doctors that are willing to perform gender mutilation on children, that encourage this kind of mental illness, they need to be resisted and fought at every level. They are evil people. They need to meet evil ends. Or perhaps they can find redemption in Jesus, but that requires repentance. And I'm not sure that any of them are willing to go there. So anyway, that's my rant today on current events. I just, I saw that school shooting and it just, every time you see one, because I have kids, my kids go off to high school, and you think, God, what if it was in Allendale? What if it was in my kid's school? And all these things start coming up, and it's horrible. So lift them up in prayer and resist evil. That's my message for you today. All right. Thanks for joining me today. I'll hop on Thursday and do another one. If you haven't listened to Todd's World and Insurrection, and you actually want to enjoy a story where evil people meet evil ends, go listen to Insurrection. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining me today. We'll see you in a couple days on Thursday. Thanks.